This is an MUT Radio podcast.
I've been alluding to this for quite some time now. I did mention it yesterday and I mentioned it again as soon as we were on the airwaves that we have a special lady that we're going to be speaking with namhlanje. Kamalakeye is Uluyanda Michelle Mbamali, and she is also the founder of a social outreach campaign called A Little More, hashtag ALM. And the most exciting part of all, she is a quarter finalist of Miss World SA. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, manene na manene gazi, Michelle! Boo, 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 boo!
Hi, Afika.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And finally, we get to have this conversation on the airwaves.
Yes, and I'm so excited.
I'm also excited. I am a little sad, though, that you're not here physically, but just nevertheless, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I really, really would have loved to join you guys in the studio today.
Definitely. But I'm hoping that when you actually get the Miss World SA title, you'll definitely think of us and come back with a special.
Listen, I'll definitely do that. That would be something I owe to you.
Yes, thank you so much. So, Michelle, I'd like to know, I mean, I did mention that you are founder of a outreach campaign, hashtag ALM, and also you are a quarterfinalist of Miss World SA. But besides all these amazing things that you do and the titles that you carry, I would like to know, and someone else who's also listening, who is Michelle? You know, on an ordinary day, who is Michelle, you know?
So I'm just, you know, I actually regard myself as an ordinary person. I come from Pinetown. So I'm no stranger to the streets of Durban. I was born and bred this side. And I'm surprisingly a part-time model, actually. I don't do modeling full-time. Yeah. I work a 9-to-5 job for one of South Africa's, I'd say it's a leading retail giant. Yeah. And I get to specialize in my field of study. So, yeah, that's practically who I am. And I'm also a bit of a person who loves a good sense of humor. I enjoy that in everyone who's around me. And, yeah, man.
Really?
Pretty much me.
I know you from church because,
yes,
I know you from church because you really interpret all the Zulu language so perfectly well. So in such a way that I thought that that is your profession. I'm like, no, she has to definitely be a lawyer or a public speaker or anything like that.
Absolutely not. You know, on a normal day, you'd find me very much in my own space, in my own bubble. A lot of people actually know me as a very quiet person. Ironically, so that's pretty much me.
Ironically, are you not quiet?
I'm actually very quiet. I think once you get a bit closer, then you get to experience the chatty side of me. And then some will claim that I have a good sense of humor, but I obviously can't confirm that myself.
Okay. You did say that you are a part-time model, and I just want to know that, okay, as much as you are a part-time model, but is it like one of those things where, for example, you need to go and study so that you have a backup plan, you know, so that you have something that you can sort of, you know, show the parents and be like, okay, I have a plan. This is something sustainable. But however, I do have a passion that I want to pursue. So was that actually the case with you? And also, is modeling something that deep down in your heart of hearts, you knew that it was your love?
To be honest, modeling is something that I felt very at home with, to be, you know. I think, you know, when you grow up and you identify yourself as someone who's different, you have to find something that you feel at home with. And modeling was one of those things. And, you know, back in the day, modeling was literally for people like myself. So a lot of people tend to not understand when I say people like myself. Yeah. I'm very skinny, guys. So that is my home. So as much as the dynamic has changed in this day and age, that's literally where I found myself. And I literally got to experience what it is to be, you know, proud of who you are. And not identify yourself with the physique, you know, like specifically the physique. So with the education part, I have to have an education, guys. My parents would not entertain this type of thing. They were not entertaining it. They just said, you're going to go study. And they'd get the invites. Come and watch me, guys. I'll be modeling at a certain place. And they're like, you know what, you're probably playing with us. And even for my first official gig as a commercial model, they had to find out by seeing me in store. They were like, oh, this is you. Yeah. So that's pretty much how my journey in modeling unfolded.
I definitely understand, Michelle. Like, I really get it, because even with me, with radio, I really had to, well, not convince, but my parents saw that I'm not letting it go. I'm still doing it. Yeah. So they're like, hey, we're just going to have to support her, as much as we don't understand this thing that much, but okay. Yes. And at least she has like a diploma. So we know. Yeah, so parents do eventually come around, because in the end, they want you to be happy, you know?
Yes, they do. Yeah. They absolutely do. So they end up being your first line supporters.
Definitely. You did mention that you often refer to yourself as, you know, it's not easy being different, growing up different for someone like me and someone like me, because I am skinny. It makes me wonder that, did you go through any kind of bullying in high school and primary? Yeah. Because someone would say, how, Michelle, to someone like you, girl, we're trying to get that body.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We all have different life problems, eh? As much as I'm trying to like get on the other side of it. But I definitely experienced that a lot. And especially in primary school, you know, kids tend to think that you're an easy target. And I think the worst part of it all was that I had a very quiet persona. So, you know, when you're not unable to speak for yourself and defend yourself, people tend to, you know, take jabs at you. They do anything, you know, even if it's like stretching their leg while you're trying to walk past. Mm. But, you know, the smallest things, measuring your ankles, measuring your wrists. They do all these things that make you uncomfortable. And they forget that these are things that actually make you uncomfortable. You know, they for now, it's a joke when everyone's still laughing. But when you're alone, it creeps up at you. Like, you know, is there something I can do to be like these people now, you know? And unfortunately, in my world, there wasn't. At all, there wasn't.
Yeah. And I can definitely understand.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that now you see how amazing it is to have your body.
Oh, I definitely, you know, sometimes I actually enjoy it. I walk into the gym and everyone's just like laughing over my body. And I'm like, guys, relax. I'm also here to gain. And they're like, no, don't gain. You're perfect the way you are. And I'm like, you know, this journey on its own of gaining weight is not easy for me. And to be honest, I haven't even gained a single inch now.
Yeah.
But I enjoy being healthy in my body and in my frame. I think it works best.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
So I want us to shift gears a bit and move a little bit to your social outreach campaign more. What motivated you to start this initiative? And also, like, what kind of impact would you say you've created thus far?
I've been a person, you know, when you're into pageants, you're somewhat involved in charity. So I've always been involved, and I've never championed anything as Michelle.
Yes.
So after quite a while, I hadn't really been actively entering pageants, you know, except for that one, you know, where I wouldn't actually make it. So I decided that after everything that I'd made for myself, like in that timeline, I'd set for myself all the goals, I'd accomplished them. And I said to myself, now what can I do basically now to give off myself? And at the end of last year, I wanted to do something special for the needy during Christmas. And unfortunately, we had very, you know, solid plans as a family to do something else. And I ran out of time in that space. So I had to then go back down to the drawing board as to, why do I actually really want to do this? You know, is it a once-off thing that I'm going to do for the needy, or am I really wanting to make impact? So after sitting myself down in that moment, I realized that what I really want to do is to make meaningful impact. I want to empower the next person. I want to encourage another person to give extensively, and I want to also open up a door of people failing forward and also paying it forward. And that's how I arrived at this name called A Little More. I remember I was actually driving with my younger sister, and we were running out of names. We're like trying to find something. How are we going to name this? Is it a campaign? Is it an organization? What is it that we're working on? And then we started off as a campaign. We said, no, let's start off with an initiative. That'll be a campaign. It'll be ever evolving with the different types of challenges, obviously, that we encounter with our community, because it's literally just about interacting with the community, feeding your community needs rather than their wants, but their needs. And so to empower the youth, we decided to start off with a stationary drive this year. And that literally just, you know, it was our heart in actual project form, because we were able to make that meaningful impact to children who were in a disadvantaged space. We engaged with Durban Children's Home, and those were our particular people that we donated to. So a lot of people probably thought, you know what, you guys just chose. But
the stories behind those children's lives were so touching. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't help but actually feel like there's something that we had to do. And the support that was behind it was really just so incredible that we exceeded our targets. And that led us to our next project. So our next project, which we actually have not been able to push through, it's to help a school start a reading center. So now we've actually gathered evidence and books for the next school that we're going to be visiting. Everything's actually well sorted. We just need to make ourselves available for that particular day because, you know, I'm a 9-to-5 girl, so it doesn't happen so easily. But it's there. The school has been identified. We're very, very excited to be actually going to that school quite soon. To deliver these books and to help them start their little reading center. I'm not going to call it a library, but it's going to be a reading center for
little
them.
Reading center. Yo, that is so important, Michelle. Like, it's so imperative. And I love that you're creating such a tangible transformation in the lives of these young kids. And it really is something to be quite commendable because there aren't a lot of young people that are actually involved in giving back campaigns or organizations. Yes, they are. There are a lot of NGOs and NPOs, but there aren't a lot of young people that are in those. So it really, really is very important to see a young person giving back to other young people because we're also training the kids, it's about paying it forward. We're also training them to see that when they are in a better place, they must also do the same for other young people that will be coming after them. So it's a generation to generation kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's where the concept of sustainability literally originates. You know, being able to identify how current resources are used, but also understanding the repercussions of how we use these resources in the future, being able to understand that there is a future generation that will be left with these resources as a result of how we've used them.
Wow, yes. I'm just impressed. I'm very, very impressed. I'm so impressed, man. I love speaking to people that are very passionate about whatever it is that they're passionate about. It makes you fall in love with that particular thing that they're actually passionate about, you know? And I can see that you have a great passion for social and economic development. So I want to know, Gutsi, what else have you observed, Gutsi? You know, because we just came out of Youth Month. So what else have you observed that this is like the key challenges that we are facing as young people?
You know, as young people, it is no secret that we're faced with a very serious crisis of unemployment.
Definitely.
Lot of us have rallied out to, you know, push our education further. So that we're able to do that our parents couldn't do in their time. That freedom that they fought for, fine, we have it now, but now we don't have the platform now to express, you know, how far we've gotten with our education. So it's very sad to see somebody graduating, you know, such a hopeful person, a person who had been dreaming great dreams of becoming somebody someday. And that is instantly diminished by the unemployment rate. So that is a very, very serious crisis that we're faced with. And I think what we also don't realize is that it causes a chain. As much as I'm a person who, or I attempt to go into it in supply chain lingo, but it is a chain. When there's unemployment, it becomes poverty. With poverty comes a numb mindset. You know, when a person has a numb mindset, they lose the ability to think for the next person because it's already been ruined for me. What else is there to, you know, what is there to look forward to? There's nothing. And with that numb mindset comes destruction and crime. Now that is where we are at as a country. As it is, we don't even know tomorrow morning what distraction, what crime news we're going to be, you know, looking at on the news bulletin. As we speak, there's an issue of trucks that are currently being burnt. Now, if we look at the bigger picture in that, truck has loaded goods, whether it's raw materials or finished goods, we don't know that. But production at some point will be halted. That is somebody working in that production line. There's a family that has been fed as a result of somebody working in that production space. There are people who are, you know, driving these trucks. They're going to lose their jobs. Should the owner of the business decide, I cannot operate in a place that is not fertile soil, they're going to move their business into another country. And what is going to happen to these people who are depending on these jobs? And if we look further down, there are children who are being raised with that money. What is going to happen? And unfortunately, the crisis of unemployment is going to grow bigger. then people who are supposed to be chasing an education will lose their morale and they're going to look for other ways to make money. Unfortunately, there is no honest way of making money if you're not educated. Let's be honest, there isn't. And that is where we end up with a criminal, you know, a crime case, a crime situation in our country. It is very serious. And I feel like as young people, if we can rally one another where we can now and we can push each other, give each other that sort of motivation, not only empower people when it's suitable for the media, but also motivate and empower someone, you know, secretly. You don't have to know about it. You can empower the next person in another space where they can become better. Let's share information. This also, you know, the Minister of Higher Education spoke about courses that are that have been squashed and cramped up. We don't need everyone flocking in the same direction. You know, research has proven that our economy is reasonably diversified. You know, we've got key economic drivers that have the power to steer our economy in a positive direction, to be honest. There is. So if we can identify where the opportunities lie and how we can empower the youth in those particular opportunities. You know, a person can be at a point of making career choices or looking for employment or perhaps looking to venture into entrepreneurship. It's no crime for a young person to own their own business. It's okay. But as long as there's full research and knowledge behind the field that they're entering, they need to know how that is going to help the next generation.
Most definitely.
So that's where we are at the moment. And that's where my personal advocacy has stemmed from. Identifying where the opportunity, where the crisis is, and what other spaces are affected as a result of that. But with unemployment, there's a lot of social, you know, spaces that have been affected a lot, and that's what we need to be fixing as the current generation now. That's where our current struggle lies.
Oh, Michelle, I feel like you've said it all. I feel like you've said it all, and I'll go as far as saying that, you know, unemployment. I mean, since unemployment, entrepreneurship really is one of the ways in which we can really actually, you know, sort of like dig ourselves out of the hole that we're in. Entrepreneurship and also branching out our skills, because you mentioned that we don't need to all be crammed up in one course. I think we also don't actually take the time to do necessary research to see ukuthi imapi, while we're unemployed, imapi mhlamba amanye ama courses I could be doing, because some of them are free. I could be doing so that I can advance my skills, because now it's a time where we should be trying out to branch out even into different other spectrums, you know, because there are careers that are now digital, because we are now living in that era where a lot of things is just about the digital industry.
Absolutely.
Even looking in going into that and doing courses where you can do that, even though you're in South Africa, but you're working for a company overseas, you know, because unemployment, hey, is honestly here to stay.
It's a fucking reality. And until we're able to identify that there are other avenues that we can explore, we're going to stay long in that situation.
We definitely are. But I don't want us to be stuck in that morose state of thinking of unemployment, because I know how it gets when we speak about it, you know?
Touching topic.
Yes, Michelle. I want us to go back into the modeling world. And I want to ask you, how does it feel to be a quarterfinalist of Miss World SA?
Oh my gosh, it is a complete honor and privilege. I remember when I first cast my entry, I was just rolling my eyes. I was like, you know what, I didn't make it to this other pageant that I've just entered. So I'm still licking my wounds there, and I'm like, you know what, but at that time, I remember when the Miss South Africa pageant was still affiliated with Miss World. I always said to myself, if I were to become the next Miss South Africa, I would want to go to the Miss World pageant. I love what they stand for. I just always loved it. So now Miss World SA becomes independently established. And I'm like, gosh, now I've just come from this state. I don't know if I'm ready to be entering another pageant. I'm very busy at work. I don't know. You know, everyone's asking me. And I'm like, guys, I seriously do not know.
Yeah.
So entering this pageant, I did it out of really being indebted to that space of my life. But I wasn't expecting anything. And then now I'm a quarter finalist. So I have to take it just a bit more seriously. And I have to remember why. Because there's always that. You don't just enter a pageant, you have to know your why. And I've abided to it, and I'm very much committed to, you know, their logo, their slogan, which is beauty with a purpose. I love it and I live it, and I would definitely encourage the next person to live that way as well. You don't necessarily have to be entering this particular pageant to understand that there is purpose behind beauty. I think every young person in this generation needs to understand that concept and live by it.
And I love that you mentioned that, because I want to actually ask, because I know there's someone else who's listening who's probably also trying to understand. It's Michelle.
Yes.
What does beauty with a purpose mean, especially to Michelle? You know, especially to Michelle, what does beauty with a purpose mean to you? And how do you plan on actually echoing your advocacies throughout this journey? Beauty with a purpose. Yeah. I love it.
To me, beauty with a purpose is understanding that beauty in itself is skin deep. Beauty has to be exuded in your compassion. It has to be exuded from your intellect. You know, growing up, my parents always used to say that you don't delight yourself in accepting compliments that are related to you being beautiful. You need to know who you are and what you stand for. And at that time, I was not even hearing that, because what mattered most in my times is you're beautiful and that's it, you know. And as you grow older, you begin to understand that it's the intangibles that make a person beautiful. There's nothing so charming than watching a confident woman walk into a room. Whether you've identified her as beautiful or not, it does not matter.
True.
But when she feels it within herself, it makes you feel so good about even looking at her. You admire her for that. Definitely. That's when I started to understand that, oh my gosh, the purpose behind your beauty should be who you are. That's what makes a difference. And becoming a part of this pageant for me, I really just want to translate who I am into the space and echo that, which is going to be through my social advocacy. I really would like for the young people to understand that you have to have goals from a young age. You know, we always look at it as though it's not something to do at post-matric. I want the young people still in school to understand that I need to start setting my goals now. I need to start having a career trajectory plan now. Mm. I need to know that how am I going to fit into this world going forward? Because many young people now are, you know, faced with this curveball, and then they run into social media. Social media is a very good platform. It's a very good platform for us to stay communicated. But then again, it can also be a very big hazard, because there's so much happening on Instagram that is placing so much pressure on normal people. Normal people who don't even work want to carry iPhones. An iPhone itself is very expensive, guys. It is very expensive. And to stay on Instagram the whole day requires data. If you're not working, where are you going to get the data to stay on Instagram the whole day?
Where are you going to get it?
So I would definitely love for the young people to understand that it's okay to live an authentic life. You need to do the best that you can within your space and within your sphere, rather. Excel in that space. And that's just the spirit I want to encourage. You know, you have to give back. You have to empower the next person. I feel like it's something we shouldn't even be putting up the question. Empowering the next person should be something that's compulsory. You know, you should do it. You have to do it, because what kind of world are we creating if it's going to be every man for himself?
To
translate that kind of energy to people, for me, would be a highlight of my reign should I become a tour of South Africa.
Oh my goodness, Michelle, I'm finding it hard to believe that you're quiet.
I told you, Afika, you come closer, I'll become a bit chatty.
I love this. You know, I'm listening to this woman who's sounding so bold and confident and brave.
Oh,
because I mean, you're literally standing up for what you believe in, and you're saying, what kind of world are we creating? Because honestly, what kind of world are we creating? And I'll take it as further as saying that, especially with us women, especially with us females, because I don't know if it's a society thing where we always feel like it's a competition between Michelle and Afika. So, you know, if Michelle's getting all these likes on Instagram and she's doing this and she's carrying Gucci bags and all of that, then I need to, you know, I need to make sure that I'm also coming in guns blazing and living up to that expectation. And it's just like, if we're being really honest, half of the things we see on social media is not real.
Absolutely. That's another thing I always, you know, always go out of my way to express to people. Because at some point I used to believe that it's real. Oh my gosh, so-and-so has made it.
You know?
And then the next day I see this person sometimes in the same taxi. I'm like, oh, I saw you in a very expensive car the other day. Hey, man, I'm starting to feel like I'm not even making it in life. I'm starting to even call myself a failure. But you're still pretty much the same. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, so we need to have reasonable expectations for the next person. And I think social media, as much as a great tool, that has also placed very unreasonable expectations on the next person.
Definitely. But I think, like we're saying and laughing, it's also our responsibility for us to come out of that cloud and bubble and actually start realizing what's the same tlabeni la. And sometimes people live a certain lifestyle because they are making certain sacrifices to live that lifestyle. Yes. You know, some of them also are actually trying to attract brands, not because they're living that life, but see, they are trying to attract brands so that they think, oh, to know this person will be able to work with us because of this particular following. But uthola ukuthi mhlambe lo muntu uboleke iwig yomunye umuntu ugqoke impahla zomunye umuntu. They went Michelle, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked.
Unzima out there.
You know, and we're here putting pressure on ourselves because we're living authentically and we're waiting. Ukuthi things is enzekeng esikhathi kufanele zenzeke ngaso. No, man, guys, no. No. Mm-mm. Yeah,
we
I refuse.
No rush.
Yeah. We definitely are not in that much of a rush. But thank you so much. I just want to end with this last question. Ukuthi beyond Miss World Essay, and I laugh when I say this because I was literally calling you Miss World
Essay. I saw that and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is she doing?
I'm speaking it into existence.
How people are so quick to attack. I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope they're not going to attack her for this.
Yeah, people are definitely quick to attack, but I'm speaking it into existence.
Thank you so much. We definitely have to manifest.
Yeah, I think beyond Miss World Essay, because girl, if you're not looking beyond that, then I don't know, because the sky's the limit. Not even the sky, beyond the sky, you know. So I want to know, Guti, Michelle, what are her aspirations, you know, beyond Miss World SA? What do you see yourself doing? Maybe let's nudge it down to in the next year, you know, which is very close. Gosh. I know.
That is so tight. But, you know, there's, I guess, when it comes to anyone's personal life, it's never too difficult to answer. My space in my career trajectory, is that I need to find myself, growing. And in the past year, I've actually grown and I still intend on growing.
Yes.
One of the things that I've always said, even within the organization that I work for, is that maturity in my space is important. I am not going to take on more responsibility if I'm not matured in what I have currently on my plate.
Yeah.
So, obviously, with a very demanding 9-to-5 job in the supply chain space, ever evolving, always on my toes, I always have to think of, you know, the different time zones that we're in, because obviously it involves global trade. So I enjoy that space and I intend on upgrading my skills. And I think currently, my coach has actually, you know, validated that I'm not being weird or strange in any way for wanting to, you know, dream outside of my bubble. And
definitely.
I think it's too much to reveal, I guess, what next year has in store for me. But I think for where I am now, my 9-to-5 job is a very serious part of me. And I always tell people that when you've studied very hard and you've also not landed yourself a job in your desire for study in the beginning, you tend to appreciate it more, especially when you get it. So in this particular organization, it's the very first time now I get to specialize in what I do, and also seeing myself grow within this organization has been a miracle. I didn't expect it, you know, 12 months into it, I am then told that, no, we now need you in this position.
Wow.
It was definitely something exciting for me, and it was something that whenever I look back, I realize then that I've impacted my colleagues in such an incredible way. And I still wish to continue impacting them. And if God willing, I'm still around, I definitely wish to take it a notch higher with all the projects that I've been entrusted with. And what I enjoy most is that in my job, I'm also regarded as a person who is a philanthropist. Hence being in the social committee in the workspace.
Yeah.
I'm very excited with the projects that we have aligned in our social space, as an organization. So I don't only just hold that, you know, that sustainability title in my job, but also in the freelancing bit of my job. So being a representative in the organization and being recognized for that for me has stood out, and I'll continue to work hard in that space to also align myself even further for my next breakthrough.
Wow. It goes back to that beauty with a purpose. Girl, you definitely have a purpose.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michelle. I definitely feel like I've learned so much from you in just a matter of like a few minutes. I wonder what's going to happen if I actually spend time with you. Then I'm just going to, you know, you really are the philanthropist that they're saying that you are.
Thank you so much. And I definitely desire that that happens.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time, for just visiting us on MET Radio, even though you are on the other side. But we appreciate young people like you, and we wish you all the best. Lastly, where can people follow you on social media, and how can they vote for you?
Okay, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, it's Michelle Lulu Mbamali. Guys, there's nothing wrong with either one of my names. I just happen to be affectionately known as Michelle growing up.
Yeah.
Every person, unfortunately, had to line up to that Michelle name. So every time I reveal that my name is Leander, people stop and ask me, are you really Leander? Like, guys, it's me. So on social media, I'm Michelle Lulu Mbamali. On Facebook, and then on Instagram, my handle is @shelvy_m. And then on the voting bit, guys, I definitely appreciate your votes. I think that's now the next criteria to get me into the semifinals. My voting code is MWSA, which stands for Miss World SA, and my personal voting code is 206. So that has to be, you know, worded together, MWSA 206. And the SMS line is 40113. So every SMS is valued at 20 rand. The free SMSs unfortunately don't apply, but I definitely appreciate everyone's vote. So you just SMS my voting code to the SMS line, and it's valued at 20 rand.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.